Jesus' words from our gospel today is just a portion of a longer sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And in many respects, it is the most difficult part of his sermon. The main topic today are two of the Ten Commandments: you shall not murder, and you shall not commit adultery. Most of the Bible comes to us by human agency, by human authors. Each book of the Bible reflects the personality and the writing of its author. Sometimes we may think that the Bible dropped out of heaven from the sky as one book, but it's quite distinct from that. Instead, it was written by many authors in various languages across different continents and over several centuries. But the Ten Commandments did drop out of heaven, or almost. God himself inscribed these words into stone tablets. Moses was a courier, if you will, a messenger, as he carried the word of God down from Mount Sinai, as the ground shook and as the sky thundered. But later, Moses does help us understand these Ten Commandments, these Ten words from God. He explains all the ways one is guilty of them or not guilty of murder and adultery, for example. And he details the consequences of those infractions of murder and adultery. And often, the consequences are severe as death. Without that understanding of the background of the Ten Commandments and Moses, it's easy to miss just how radical Jesus is here. Why his words would offend, and why they would also shake the earth and thunder from heaven. He says, "You have heard that it was said of ancient times," and he quotes the Ten Commandments and the words of Moses. "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you," he says. And when he introduces his teaching this way, he is saying that his teaching is just as authoritative, if not more so, than those Ten Commandments written by the finger of God and the law of Moses that came through that great prophet. "You have heard the Ten Commandments," he says, "that caused the earth to quake. And you heard Moses, whose face had to be veiled because it shone the glory of God." The Ten Commandments and Moses say some challenging things and some great things. But Jesus says, "I say even greater things, things that will even transform your life more." Jesus' words about the law here are like going into an enormous cave, if you will. The further we go down into it, the less light of hope and grace. We realize how tiny we are as we enter those rooms with ceilings as high as cathedrals, echoing into nothingness. Murder is no longer just a physical act, Jesus tells us. It's anger. It's resentment that we have in our hearts. Murder are the insults we say out of our mouths. Murder is when we do nothing to promote health and well-being, or do nothing to reconcile with one another. Adultery is no longer just an act, Jesus tells us. It's merely looking at someone with lustful intent in our hearts. It's unfaithfulness in our minds. And it's causing others to stumble and to sin. That's why we confess in our confession of sin each week in the words that we do. "We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone." This confession of sin comes straight from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Early in this same sermon, what we heard last week in our reading. Jesus said he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He has come to bring us to a full understanding of the law and to fulfill its purpose and to show its purpose, to show what God's standard of righteousness is, just how high his expectation is for us and our godly behavior. The law is so demanding that we must obey it, not just outwardly, as other people can witness and observe in our actions, but also in that hidden world, that inner world that we only know, and only God only knows, the one who knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Next week, our reading from the Gospel will finish this chapter and this section with the words from Jesus, "Be perfect. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." We are highlighting our heritage in the Reformation this 500th anniversary year. And one of the earliest insights of that movement that is always there is that the law always accuses, in the Latin, lex semper accusat. It's in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. What that means is the law always accuses, and so no one can say, "I have kept God's commandments." None of us can earn God's love by trying better, the law tells us. If God's standard of righteousness is absolute, perfect obedience, both to the letter of the law and according to the spirit of the law, we all fall short. In fact, that's what Scripture says. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And why is this helpful, you might ask? How can this possibly lead us to good news? Because the only solution is grace. Forgiveness cannot be earned, the law tells us. Eternal life cannot be purchased. We do not deserve the salvation that Jesus brings. But God is gracious and merciful. He loves us even though we are sinners. He loves us even though each of us has failed. He delights in extending his grace and mercy to sinners through his Son. Christ died and rose again for us, and he gives us the salvation that Jesus purchased for free. Today is a contrast between darkness and light, the darkness of our sin and the light of God's grace, although we haven't quite got there in Jesus' sermon yet. But Jesus has us take a hard look and an honest look at sin so that when we see forgiveness, we will see it in all of its glory. To hear the accusation of the law so that when we hear God's word of forgiveness, the law has been silenced. The law shows our sin. The gospel shows us our Savior. The law reveals our darkness. The gospel reveals Christ's light. The law declares us guilty. The gospel, forgiven. Jesus fulfills the law's demands so that we can benefit from the gospel's blessings. An old Scottish preacher said a few hundred years ago, "It is of no use trying to sew with the silken thread of the gospel unless we pierce a way for it through the sharp needle of the law." And so God sews up our mortal and spiritual wounds. Like a good doctor who says, "This is going to hurt," knowing that he is intending to heal. And so the law wounds our pride. The law accuses, it pierces through, but it makes a way for the silken thread of the gospel to bind up our spiritual and mortal wounds. Earlier I said that this part of the sermon was like a cave. The right understanding of a law is to really understand it as more like a cavern. A few years ago, I went through the Rio Camuy cavern in Puerto Rico. And as we descended into that darkness, we saw those ceilings as high as cathedrals. We saw pools of stagnant and smelly water. We saw blind creatures that looked like enormous spiders. We heard bats flopping their wings around through the cave. We went into deep darkness. We saw rivers hundreds of yards underground. And we went into the darkness of those caves, but ultimately we were led, as caverns always do, to another opening, to an opening with light. And as we entered into this opening through the cavern, there was a bright light and a bright sky. There was water that was trickling down into the cavern that we could drink, that was fresh, that was healthy. And so the law takes us through the darkness of our sins so that we can see the light of God's grace and mercy and enter it into forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.